Welcome to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. I'm Barry Kantz, your host. This is show number 268 for October 24th, 2010. And the song you're listening to is Journey. And it's from the album Love Will Find a Way. The music in this podcast is provided by Aerial Publicity, and the artist you're listening to is Lola Blue, who is also known as Janelle McCracken from Berrien Springs, Michigan. And Berrien Springs, Michigan is right down the road from my hometown, so that's why this particular artist and particular song caught my eye. And you can find out more about this album or buy it at Lola Blue's website at www.lolablue.com. That's www.lolablue.com, lolablue.com. Well, once again, I'm Barry Kantz, your host for the Home Base Travel Agent Show, and I want to welcome you on board for the show. And we have a little bit of a different show coming up today. We're going to talk about solo traveling, and we have a guest on board that is an expert in solo traveling. She has a blog, authored a blog, very popular blog, as a matter of fact, a couple of them, and you'll learn more about that as we get into the show. But right now, I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank you for being a subscriber to the Home Base Travel Agent Show. I really appreciate it. And you can find the website for the show at www.hometravelagent.net. That's hometravelagent.net. And once you get over there, you'll find the archives for all the past shows, or most of them anyhow, for the past couple, 3 years. The show has been going on for 5 years now, and I have the archives over on the website for a couple of those 5 years, the most recent 2 years. So again, thank you for being a subscriber. Thank you for listening. And I want to apologize for not being around a whole lot during the month of October. It's been a really busy month. I've been out traveling, been out to the Blog World, a new media conference, been out to Petaluma, California for the Mac Expo. And it's just been a whirlwind of a month. Hopefully it'll slow down a little bit here now that October is just about over with. Now, as I mentioned on our last show, I'm going to do a short business segment, try to do a short business segment in each show. I have a bunch of topics, and occasionally I'll probably recruit Laureen and Gary to help me out with some of these topics. But today's business feature on the show is, you know, should you market your travel business on Facebook? And that's a big question, and I think I have some answers for you, or at least some statistics about Facebook that may convince you to join up and promote your travel business on Facebook. And the statistics that I have are that there are more than 500 million active users of Facebook, and 150 million of those users are in the United States. Now, that's quite an audience to reach. You know, and 50% of those active users log into Facebook every day. And the average user has 130 friends, and they spend, each user spends 55 minutes per day on Facebook. You know, that's average. Well, that's a lot of time. I don't spend that much time on Facebook. I just don't have the time to do it. But it's, you know, I enjoy Facebook. It's a great way to connect with people and, you know, promote your business as well. And there's a lot of opportunities, obviously, with these stats that you can jump in there and promote your business. Now, the average user creates 90 pieces of content each month. And the more successful pieces of content are usually photographs and video. So if you get on there and start promoting your business, remember, you want to post some photographs, post some videos up there, and talk a little bit about what you do. Now, there's more than 30 billion pieces of content, web pages, news stories, blog posts, notes, photo albums that are shared each month on Facebook. It's an amazing number. Now, people access Facebook with mobile devices, and it's a very popular way to access Facebook, and I know I do that once in a while, and there are more than 150 million active users currently accessing Facebook through their mobile device. And they found these mobile users are twice as active on Facebook than non-mobile users are. So there's a little bit of information about Facebook that should convince you that you should be on Facebook, develop your friend network, Get the information out there. And they have a section on Facebook now that's called, I forget what it's called, but it's questions and answers. And go out there and find some questions about travel and answer those questions. Build a reputation on Facebook. And I know it's going to help your business. I know I have a couple of listeners out there that do an excellent job of promoting their travel business on Facebook. And I'm friends of theirs and I watch them. And, you know, if you go out there and start promoting your business on Facebook, let me know. Drop me a line. Ask me to become your friend or become my friend. And you can do that by joining with me at facebook.com/Barry.Cantz. And I'd love to see your business, love to see you promote your business out there. And I would love to help you. So if you get on Facebook and start promoting your business, drop me a note. I'll certainly mention you in the show and ask people to come up and be friends with you as well. So, hey, give it a try. You know, what can it hurt? Try it out. And if it doesn't work, you have a little time invested, but, you know, Facebook's free otherwise. So with that segment on the business, or the business segment, what I'll do is I want to get right into the co-hosted section of the show. And Gary Ebels joins me this week as the co-host. Maureen is off she's out at the Sheraton in Petaluma. That's where I stayed when I was out there. And she's working with, I'm not sure what group it is, but anyhow, she ended up working with a group promoting something out there at the Sheraton tonight, the night that we're recording this co-hosted segment. So she's not with us tonight, and next week she's off to Hawaii, so it's going to be early November before we get Laureen back here on the show, but that's okay. Laureen's a busy lady, and she does a great job for us. So with that, what I want to do is jump right into the co-hosted segment, so here we go. Hey, welcome everybody to the Home-Based Travel Agent Show. We're back, and I know it's been a spotty month for the show, and that's primarily because I've been traveling on the road to Petaluma, California, 1 week here in October, and then out to Las Vegas to the Blog World and New Media Conference just last weekend. But we'll slowly get back, maybe more than slowly, but we'll get back into the swing of things here with a regular show. And Laureen is off tonight. She has a special event that she's a part of back in Petaluma, California. And Gary Ebels has joined me to fill in for Laureen. And so, you know, sometimes all three of us are here, which is a great time, but it's just Gary and I, and we have a special guest, and I'm going to turn it over to Gary, and he can introduce our guest for us.
Well, thanks, Barry. I feel like I'm Laureen tonight. So first off, welcome back from all your traveling. In fact, you just got back from some place, which is a favorite of our guests tonight, so maybe you'll have some things to discuss there. By the way, I just want to remind you that my contract says that I'm supposed to be here with Laureen. And so if we do this too many times and she's not around for us to harass her, I might have to invoke some contractual provisions or something then too. So anyways, well, I think that this works out just fine also because this guest was kind of my idea because I have kind of the same references and so forth to some of the things that she's doing. And we've also are going to turn it around from the standpoint that we're inviting a traveler on our show tonight, as opposed to somebody who's actually in the travel business. But I think she knows the travel business a lot. Her name is Gray Cargill. And Gray, not only being a world traveler, and I think her She's kind of like me. She her website basically said that she's been to 16 plus states and 5 countries. And I think I've been to probably as many countries, but they've been in the World Showcase at Disney World. So I don't know if that counts or not. But welcome, Gray Cargill. And you are the owner of SoloFriendly.com, which gives us an idea of what you do. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Gary. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure here. And what we would like to do is just spend a little time and talk about the fact that not only are you a traveler, you're a solo traveler. And not to be sexist about this, you're also female. And so that creates a whole bunch of relationships there that some people would go, boy, those are like the perfect storm or something like that. So give us a little background of how this all works and how this all came about.
How I became a solo traveler?
Yes, our traveler and solo traveler, sure.
Sure. You know, I've always wanted to travel. since I was a kid. And then when I grew up, you know, obviously I kind of fell into the whole trap that a lot of people do. You know, you go to school, you graduate, you go to college, you graduate, you get a job, you pay your bills, you buy a home, whatever. You know, travel was always on the back burner for me. And I kept waiting for someone to come along, you know, a perfect travel companion to come along, you know, so that I could travel. And eventually I just said, you know what, life is short. I don't want to wait. I just want to go. So I started traveling by myself and discovered that it's, you know, not a scary thing. And it's actually a lot of fun. And to be honest, it's my preference now to travel alone.
So, yeah, because you get a lot of variables there that you don't get when you go with other folks and so too. So you've left the United States also. And where's your favorite place that you've gone?
Well, you know, Las Vegas is really my favorite place.
Okay.
But that's like vacation, you know, that's more vacation than anything. I fall a little bit in love with every place I visit, so it's kind of hard to pick a favorite. It's like picking a favorite child, you know?
Oh yeah. You know, that's the standard answer that, you know, we typically get. Way to work that one, you know, just a little bit too. So, what are some of the challenges that you have, by being a solo traveler? We'll start with the other side. Some of them probably aren't a lot different than someone who's, traveling with someone.
Well, yeah, I mean, for solos, there are a few hot button issues. I mean, one is, you know, a lot of people are worried about safety. And then the other is cost. I mean, as a solo traveler, you don't have someone to split expenses with, you know, to share a room or transportation or whatever. Single supplements are the bane of our existence.
Yes.
You know, so, and then there's the loneliness factor. I mean, you know, sometimes you do get a little bit lonely on the road, but, you know, I just sort of push through it. I find that I actually, as a solo traveler, have an easier time meeting new people, which is kind of not what you would imagine. You know, a lot of people think, oh, if I go alone, I'll be lonely. There won't be anyone to share the experience with. I've met some really, really great people on the road. And I think it's because solo travelers are just very approachable.
Yes, yes. And is this, would this be like your behavior, or are you surprising everybody in your family and stuff? Like, are they going, I can't believe that you go alone, because that's not the way you were when you grew up or something? Is this pretty much you, or is it a change that you've had to make in order to travel?
That's an interesting question. I think probably people were surprised when I first started traveling solo. I've always been an introvert. And, you know, so I'm very, you know, keep to myself a lot and kind of quiet and reserved and everything. And also, I think nobody else in my family really has gotten into that traveling solo thing. So they were all like, oh, you know, is that safe? And, you know, I wouldn't do that. I couldn't do that, you know. And so I think it was kind of a surprise for them. But I think people are used to it now.
Yes, yes. Well, you've been doing it for how long? I mean, looking
quite
at
a while.
Looking at your website, and so you've been to a lot of places and had a lot of posts on there still too. I remember coming across you early on because of my love for Disney and so forth, and
yes.
We connected through there. And I think you started out, maybe not started out, but that was one of your destinations. But you have since. It seems that a new destination has kind of taken over your interest there, which is Las Vegas, and the fact that it's your love and Barry's recent visit here. Tell us some things about Vegas and why it's so attractive to you as a solo traveler.
I think Vegas is just one of the most solo-friendly destinations out there, mainly because everyone's so darn happy to be there. It's very easy to talk to people in Vegas. I mean, you start up conversation. It's one of the only cities I've ever been to where you actually talk to people in the elevator. You know, most cities, you know, if you're in an elevator with somebody, everyone's kind of studiously not looking at each other and just being polite and everything. But in Vegas, it's like, so are you winning? You know, everyone
That's the
talks
opening
to
line,
each other.
Huh?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So it's very easy to
yes.
to meet
you
people
finding
there.
Those same things, Barry?
Yeah, you know, I did, and I was just thinking about an experience that I had on the elevator when we were in Vegas, and I had I was there for a conference and had the little vendor tag around my neck and in the elevator full of people, and all of a sudden somebody says, well, how's the conference going? And I started talking, and all of a sudden everybody in the elevator was engaged in talking about this conference. And of course it was a quick conversation, but it was just amazing that all of a sudden the conversation struck up so quickly and so many people. Yeah.
Exactly. You know, the other thing that I saw, I think it was the thing that made me think that we should have Gray on the show, and I might have misread this, but Gray, did you take a helicopter tour out there?
I did. It was so much fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And the reason I asked that is that I think Barry did and Lorraine did, and you've actually had somebody on the show, Barry, from what's – I can't even remember the name of the helicopter service.
Yeah, Maverick Helicopter Service, and we took the Grand Canyon tour and then came back across the strip at night, and then shortly thereafter, Lorraine did the strip tour. Well, that doesn't sound right, does it?
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, you know?
That's right. Unless it's on a podcast.
That's right. Well, she's not here to defend herself.
That's right, yeah. She did that. Let me rephrase that. She did the helicopter tour down the strip at night. And, of course, you know, Lorraine, she's not bashful at all. So she made a call to the Maverick helicopter folks and had, I'm trying to think of his name. I think it was Lopato. Anyhow, he's the marketing director for Maverick Helicopters on. And it was a great conversation with him about Maverick Helicopters and what they do. But anyhow, the trip was fantastic. And it sounds like you had that same experience too, Gray.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, it basically ticked two things off my bucket list. I mean, I've always wanted to go up in a helicopter, and I've always wanted to see the Grand Canyon. So it was kind of just the perfect way to do it.
Yeah, same thing for me. It took a couple things off my bucket list.
So we got some continuity there. We've got somebody who was formerly on the show and two people who have actually taken the tour and highly recommend it. So if you need more information, anyone, contact Barry or Gray. And I suspect that if you go back out there, they'd probably give you a free helicopter ride just for the research purpose of it at this point in time, right?
Yeah, actually.
It's possible. Yeah.
So... any other thoughts about Las Vegas, either one of you?
Well, for me anyway, the other thing I really like about Las Vegas is they're so used to seeing solo travelers there because people go there all the time for business. And, you know, also a lot of people just go there alone to gamble. Yes. Or whatnot. They don't bat an eye. You don't get treated differently in Las Vegas because you're alone, which is really great. I mean, some destinations, you know, they're expecting you to be there as a couple or as a family. Mm-hmm. But Las Vegas is just, they're totally cool with solos. So makes it a very solo friendly destination.
Exactly. Any recommendations that you had about Las Vegas based upon your last trip, Barry, or didn't you get a chance to experience the the boss make you work the whole time?
Oh yeah, he was a slave driver, but yeah. You know, we didn't skip any meals, that's for sure. And we went out to a restaurant in Mandalay Bay, that area there. It was called Red Square, and it was mm-hmm. very good. I have to commend them on their food. So if you get to Las Vegas, try out the Red Square. It's a Russian atmosphere, and they have a full range of vodka, which I didn't partake in, but the rest of the group that I was with had a good time with that. And then Gray and I were talking just before we started recording. Just before I got on the airplane, I had an opportunity to go with our group down to Fremont Street, the old part of Las Vegas. And, you know, after spending time in the on the strip and going to the old part, and you know, I almost prefer the old part, and it's just kind of an interesting, it has an interesting atmosphere and a little bit of a different culture, I think. So I don't know. What do you think, Gray?
Yeah, I think it's definitely got a different vibe from the strip. It's a lot cheaper. If you're going to Vegas on a budget, that's the place where you would want to stay, is downtown. If you have any mobility issues, downtown is also a good place to stay because you can walk right out of one casino and into the next one in seconds. You know, I also really like that old time Vegas vibe down there.
Yeah.
That's good. Gray, what's your favorite destination and place to stay and or eat in Vegas?
Oh, it changes from trip to trip.
Oh, research. More research is
Yeah,
what
I
you're saying,
mean,
yeah.
yeah, exactly. I think I'm going to have to go again.
Yes, exactly.
My favorite hotel that I've stayed at so far is the Bellagio. Just, such a classy hotel. Although I really did like Treasure Island, which I stayed at last time, for a more budget-friendly place to stay. That was really nice. And I'm sorry, I forgot the rest of your questions.
Places to eat. Do you have
Well,
any
I
favorite
try
places?
different places every time I go. I try to hit up
Okay.
different joints. But I remember having this really fabulous meal at Fiamma in MGM Grand. Very, very good meal and very good service and just a nice atmosphere. I really liked it a lot.
See, look at all the tips about Vegas that we're getting tonight here on the. From two experienced travelers to Vegas there too. So Vegas has become your kind of default destination and so forth, but maybe some of the other places that you've gone solo out of the United States.
Out of the United States, yeah. I haven't gone. I haven't done a lot of world travel. I mean, I've been to England, which was very nice. That's always a good starter trip for a solo traveler because they do speak the same language. You don't
Yes.
have to worry about it being a foreign language. I've been to Canada. I love Montreal so much. It's very close to where I live, so it's a nice little weekend trip away. Mexico was lovely, but I had a bad experience there. I'm going to have to try it again someday when the negative association fades. I basically got food poisoning while I was there, so it was not the best travel
Oh
experience
boy.
I've ever had. And then, when I was much younger, I went to Germany and Austria, very beautiful countries. I'd like to go back there again.
I was in the military in the in Germany, and I always say that I'd like to go back sometime when I can pick up my take delivery of either my Mercedes-Benz or BMW. So I haven't quite got to that point yet, but it would be fun to do that
Yeah,
too.
my
So.
father was actually stationed over in Germany many
Oh
years ago
really?
in Stuttgart. Yeah.
Stuttgart. I was in Bitburg Air Force Base, Germany. So,
Ah.
way back when. Anyways, how about booking your travel, Gray? How do you go about that? Do you have a travel agent, or do you do a lot of your own booking yourself?
Yeah, I don't have a travel agent. I do my own booking myself, with the exception of when I went to Walt Disney World for the first time back in 2005. Believe it or not, that was my first trip to Disney World ever, as an adult. I had heard about I during the course of my research, I had heard about this great room rate discount that I wanted to take advantage of. But I also had heard that in order to do so, you'd have to be on the phone with them for a very long period of time because everyone is calling at the same time trying to get the deal. And I was like,
Yes.
I have to be at work. I don't have time to do that. So I decided to get myself a Disney specialist travel agent. So I worked with Debbie Koons of Magical Journeys, and she was fabulous. She got me everything that I wanted. It was like having a personal assistant. And very
Yes.
responsive to emails and everything. It was just, she was wonderful. And so the next time I went to Disney World, I just used her again just because I was like, why not? I mean, it doesn't cost me anything and it's,
Right.
it helps her and she does a great job. So, why not?
Right. And it should be pointed out, and I may be taking a little license here, that I don't think that you're a trust child or anything like that. You do have
No.
a job and a life someplace, and so
I do.
do you have to use your vacation time, or do you have a job that's flexible enough to give you time off? And do you like long vacations or short?
That's a good question. Yeah, I mean, I definitely have to use my vacations because I am a full-time employee. I do have a lot of vacation time stockpiled, so I could theoretically take a lot, take a very long vacation. But as is true of many workplaces these days, my office is understaffed because of the recession and everything. We lost some employees, and they just were never replaced. So more work for fewer of us. So I don't get away quite as often as I would like to, but I do as much as I can. I try to take about a week off at a time. Anything more than that, and I think I might start getting a little antsy on the road. It's nice to be able to come home and just, sleep in your own bed and with your own pillow and all that. So a week is about right for me.
Well, I love, of course, going to Disney World, and I also enjoy going alone, because just like you and you point out in your website, is the fact that if you're going to go, it's sometimes you just can't wait for people to go along with you. And so, but I prefer the short trips. In fact, I just booked one up in December. Well, it was supposed to be a solo trip. December 1st through the 5th down there, and there's some other Disney people that are catching up down there who are also kind of radical like me. And but what I find is that when my kids find out that I'm going, and they're all adult kids, when they find out I'm going, they're going, Bob, you got any extra room? We'd like to come along with you. So in some respects, it's solo, but it's nice to have sometimes the company catches up with you too. But I kind of like the shorter trips. I like to shoot out because I can do multiple ones. I think my record one year between going to conferences and just going down and free tickets that I picked up that I had to use, I got to go to Orlando 5 times one year.
Wow. So you're talking about long weekends, basically?
Yeah, exactly. Thursday through Sunday, Thursday through Monday or something, which works out with my type of job, too. So it's, I prefer to get away like that. It's kind of refreshing. So.
Anyways, sounds good to me.
So how much time you put on your website? The other thing that we want to point out, the fact that, that you've got a wonderful website for, I mean, what you say is you just set it up just to kind of post your travels and so forth. And it looks like it's expanded quite a bit. Tell us about your website.
The mothership website is solofriendly.com, and it's a basically it's a blog for solo travelers. You know, yes, I write about my own travels. I also write tips and advice for solo travelers, reviews of hotels and restaurants, and you know, the solo friendly factor of them, that sort of thing. You know, my whole mission for that website was just to get people thinking about traveling alone, that it's, you know, if you've always wanted, you know, nothing makes me sadder than when I hear somebody say, well, I'd really like to travel, but I don't have anyone to travel with. You know, well, if you really want to travel, then just go. You don't have to wait for somebody. And so, you know, that's pretty much the mission of my blog, is to get that idea out there so that people start thinking about it and taking that, that step to travel by themselves.
And then you've spun part of your site off to a new one, which is called?
The Vegas Solo. Which is vegassolo.com. And that's pretty much, it started out, my first idea was just to create it as a static website where basically I just kind of walk people through the process of planning your first solo vacation to Las Vegas, you know, and all of the components of that, you know, figuring out what time of year to go, you know, where to stay, what to do while you're there, that sort of thing. And then I just couldn't resist, but I had to start a blog on that one too. So... Yeah, I spend a lot of time. I would say my blogging life is another full-time job on top of the full-time job that I already have.
Exactly. And do you blog and tweet while you're traveling? Is that one of your things that you do also?
I tend not to because for me, a vacation is also a vacation away from technology. Because I spend so much time, my day job is also on the computer. So I'm on the computer a lot and I need a vacation away from it once in a while. So I tend not to bring my laptop with me when I travel. I do, though, try to tweet if I can, you know, just sending out quick tweets about what I'm doing.
Great. So, Barry, do you have other questions for Gray tonight?
Oh yeah, how did you get involved in blogging? You know, I just got back from the Blog World of New Media conference and spent a lot of time with bloggers out there, and I just love bloggers and podcasters. So it's always interesting to me on how people get involved in that.
Yeah, I've always been a writer. I actually went to college for creative writing. And for many, many years I was working on fiction, and then I just sort of got burnt out on that. And stopped writing altogether and realized after a few years that it was my, you know, it was just killing me. I had to have that creative outlet. And so, you know, looking at what's going on with the internet and how democratic it is to be able to write and put your stuff out there for, you know, people to see without having to worry about a middleman, you know, the way you do with publishing. you know, I love that whole, the democratic process of that. And so I started noticing blogs online and thinking, you know, I should do that. I should do a blog. And it was just a matter of thinking about what topic I felt passionately enough about to write about all the time. And, you know, eventually, you know, my love for travel just sort of, you know, gave me that inspiration to do the solo travel blog.
Yeah, I would agree. It's much easier to blog or podcast about something you're passionate about. In fact, I think that's a key to being successful.
Yeah, I would agree.
You know, I think there's two types of people out there, and we've got two of them sitting here. The one type of person is someone who sees a need and starts a blog and takes some action and fills it out. I actually have a blog, and it's a website, and it really needs a whole bunch of content because there's nothing on it. So, and then also when it comes to Twitter, I'm one of those that likes to sit back and watch whatever people say. And I noticed that Gray is a pretty constant blogger and retweeter. Oh, that's going to be tough.
Yeah, Gary, you're thinking of Halloween or what?
Trick or treat, yeah.
Is that when I take candy and give it out again?
Well, it's my tribute to Halloween, yeah, which is next week. But you know what I mean. You get lots of stuff. And so there's two sides to those types of things, and everybody finds their own niche there. But
yeah,
that is a good point. You have a wonderful website, both of them actually, and lots of information. And also what's nice on there for anybody that it might be useful for is you have also a tab with a number of links. The one I know most about is the Walt Disney World Inn, and looks like you have a lot of the ones that I follow and I hang out with, but you've got many more beyond that, not only for Disney, but also for Vegas, and also quite a few of them that you found and linked with other people who have blogs or information about solo traveling.
Yeah, I have lots of links for other solo travel blogs and just travel blogs in general. I'm pretty well, you know, connected in with the travel community online, which is a joy. I mean, that's one of the best things about blogging is, you know, you meet such a great group of people online.
Exactly. So, yeah, well, with that, how would people follow you or find you, Gray?
Well, you can obviously find me at the two websites, solofriendly.com and vegassolo.com. I also have a Facebook page for Solo Friendly. You can just look it up as Solo Friendly. On Twitter, you can find me as Solo Friendly or as Vegas Solo. I have two accounts. And I think that, what else am I missing?
An email address if they would...
You got an email address? Yeah, email address is gray@solofriendly.com.
Great. And if you go to solofriendly.com, she has nicely on her nice website, the social media links that you like to find on there. So you can just click those. You don't have to remember them or play this podcast back and so forth, too. So, Barry, if they want to talk to you and get some information about blogging, Blog World, any of your other interests, how would they get a hold of you?
Well, they can reach me by email at Barry, B-A-R-R-Y, at hometravelagent.net. That's Barry at hometravelagent.net, and on Facebook at facebook.com/Barry.Kantz. And Gary, how about you?
You can reach me the best at WDWGary, Walt Disney World Gary, at gmail.com, or I'm Gary222 and Solo at Disney on Twitter. And then on Facebook, I'm Gary.Ebels, E-B-E-L-S. Well, thank you, Gray. We appreciate you coming on the show. Hopefully sometime we can have you back and we can bring Lorraine in. And she probably has a number of questions, too. She's quite the traveler. And also, I think she travels quite a bit solo in her research trips, too. So, well, we appreciate your time tonight and your information. And hope to keep in touch with you.
Well, thank you very much. It was a lot of fun doing this.
Yeah, thank you, Gray. It was fun.
Okay, thanks, Gary. Thanks for co-hosting. I really appreciate it. And thank you, Gray, for being a part of our show. And hopefully we'll have you back again and maybe have you back after you return from Paris. And we can talk about your trip to Paris. I think that would be great. I have three news items here today. And the first news item is about the Transportation Security Administration finalizing what they call their secure flight program. And as of November 1st, every passenger must give their name and date of birth and the information exactly as it is on your driver's license when you're booking your ticket. Now, this means that if you're booking your ticket through a travel agent, online, or however, you know, or directly through the airlines via telephone call, you have to give your driver's license information or ID information so that you can get a boarding pass. Now, before November 1st, apparently the airlines weren't required to provide this information to the TSA prior to printing a boarding pass. But after November 1st, before the TSA will approve a boarding pass for printing, you must give your name and date of birth exactly as it appears on your ID. And now the reason for this is that what they do with that information is they check it against the watch lists. And they'll check it against the watch lists before you even print your boarding pass, if you're doing it from your computer. And if your boarding pass prints, you're okay. You've passed their test. So anyhow, that starts November 1st. And if for some reason your ID information does not match up, you may not get your boarding pass. So you may have to go to the airline ticket counter and provide all that information there. And then I'm not sure what happens. The article, the information in the TSA website is kind of vague, and it doesn't really talk about what happens if you don't give the proper information. It doesn't really say what happens. Do you end up, it sounds like you end up not getting a boarding pass, but you know, what are the alternatives? What do you have to do in that event? Do you have to go to the airline counter? What steps do you have to take to get a boarding pass? But anyhow, you can take a look at this article. It's over on the TSA website, and I will have a link to it in the show notes. And it's something that your clients should know about, and that something that you should know about as you're booking, if you're booking any air travel for your clients, you know, whether it's through a tour, you know, or a vacation or whatever, you're going to have that information for the airlines. Now, the next article comes from the Reader's Digest, and this really caught my eye because it's kind of fun, and maybe in a different sort of way, being fun. But anyhow, it's entitled, 50 Secrets Your Pilot Won't Tell You. And I'm not going to go through all 50. In fact, I want you to go over to the website, the Reader's Digest website, and take a look at this for yourself. But I'll highlight a couple of these 50 things that your pilot won't tell you. And the first one is that the pilot is constantly under pressure to carry less fuel than what they're comfortable with, because the airlines are always looking for ways to save money on the bottom line, and that fuel is extra weight, and it causes the aircraft to burn extra fuel because the weight they're carrying there. So hopefully you don't have to divert to a far-off airport if your plane can't land where it's intended to go. Now, here's one that I like. It says, some FAA rules don't make sense, because that when an airplane is at 39,000 feet going 400 miles an hour, you know, the plane can hit turbulence at any minute, but flight attendants can walk around and serve hot coffee. However, when the plane's on the ground on a flat piece of asphalt going 5 to 10 miles an hour, they have to be buckled in like they're in a NASCAR vehicle. So anyhow, I thought that was pretty cute. Now, another pilot says that at some airports, they have really short runways, and you're not going to get a smooth landing no matter how good the pilots are. And a couple of those airports are John Wayne Airport out in California, and I take that back. I thought John Wayne was in California, but this one they're talking about is John Wayne Airport in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and another short runway airport is Chicago Midway. So, be prepared to bounce around a bit if you're flying into Jackson Hole, Wyoming, or Chicago Midway Airport. So anyhow, take a look at this article yourself. It's a lot of fun. You can see what pilots, 50 things your pilot won't tell you. And there's some other links in there too to 13 things your flight attendant won't tell you. So interesting information here on the Reader's Digest website. Go over and check it out. Link in the show notes. And moving on to the next article, and I tried this app out. It's an iPhone app, and this is from a press release, and it's about EveryTrail. And EveryTrail is an audio travel guide for the iPhone. And what's pretty cool about this is that you can get commercial travel guides as well as user-generated travel guides. And they say there's more than 400,000 user-generated trips using this app, and those are from 140 different countries. And what's cool about it is you can go on there using this app and share your trip. And what this is all about, you know, and I don't know if you've ever been to a museum where you put on the little headphones and you walk through the museum and you get a narrated tour of what you're looking at as you walk through the museum with all kinds of interesting facts and figures. And this app provides you with similar information, but at different destinations. So you can walk around, say, the Rocky Mountain National Park in certain locations there and have a guided tour with your iPhone or iPod plugged into your ears, listening to another member describe and give you information about what you're seeing. This sounds pretty cool. I've got it on my iPhone. I can't wait to find a place where there is a travel guide and check it out and walk around and see what I can learn as I'm viewing the sites. So anyhow, I have a link to this in the show notes. It's called Every Trail. If you go on iTunes and search for Every Trail, you'll find it, and you can put it on your iPhone or iPod. Well, with that, hey, it's another week. I should be back next week. Lorraine's not going to be here next week. I'm going to have to see if I can recruit maybe Gary or somebody to come on with me. If not, I will be going solo. Podcasting solo. Maybe I should start a blog. Podcasting solo. Anyhow, thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next week. And I hope everyone has safe travel. Stay healthy, everybody, and take care. Bye-bye now. Thank you.